All right, you said you can't talk about the technical aspects of whatever allowed, you know, the biologically friendly fields to be applied. Mm-hmm. But can you talk about the technology that allows mind control, or is that one and the same?
Yes, because I did not sign for that. They use mind control to make anyone that worked on the project forget what they did.
Well, all right. How? What technology is beyond behind that? I know radio waves, but radio waves generally are totally harmless and without effect to biological entities. They're all around us.
Well, this, as you've probably been reaching, this is coming up to a lot of debate at this point, exactly how harmless are these electromagnetic waves.
That's true.
Most of our waves that we do deal with in our environment are what we call continuous waves, CW, like coming out of your radio transmitter.
Right.
Human beings are sensitive to pulsed waves, fast on and off, semi-random fractal-based type modulations in pulse form. They use pulse frequency and pulse amplitude. It's a very, very specialized form of modulation resembling some very modern chirp-type radar signals.
All right, so it's a true pulse then. It's not just a pulse modulation?
It's a true pulse. It's a frequency-hopping pulse.
Frequency-hopping?
Yeah, it goes from frequency to frequency to frequency. If you tune it in on a radio receiver, it just sounds like a crack at a particular frequency. Then it goes to another frequency, you got another crack, and it hops around from frequency to frequency. Montauk had about 20 different frequencies. They hopped between 420 and 460 megahertz.
420 and 460 again, that's interesting.
Yeah.
The Russians are using something, something or another that we call the woodpecker.
Well, that's down at HF.
That's HF, is correct. Right. But, and so it's
and
not,
that's the same, similar type of modulation scheme.
Is it?
Again, it's a pulse with a chirp inside the pulse.
Oh.
I've looked at the Russian woodpecker. In fact, we have what we call over-the-horizon radar here, which looks almost identical but much more sophisticated. And when that first appeared on the air, I called the FCC and asked them what it was, and they said it was the American version. It was the American over-the-horizon radar. And I said, oh, you mean like the Russian woodpecker? And he said, yeah, it's our version of the woodpecker.
I see. And so you're saying that with the right kind of pulse in the right frequency range.
Not the frequency range, how you hop from frequency to frequency. See, remember, you're building essentially a hologram, a holographic type information packet out of delta frequency information and delta amplitude information and delta phase. Of course, phase and frequency is the same. Remember, you're dealing here with very fast deltas. You have to integrate this into essentially a random ordered white noise pattern built very much on fractals.
All right. Let's assume then that all of this, which is going to begin to get above some of their heads and perhaps mine as well, all of this would affect a biological entity.
It's a very unique type of radio signal.
The next question is, how would you make it specific to any particular biological entity, particularly
okay,
at a distance?
That is very interesting itself. See, at the Montauk Project, we use what we call a witness or a signature. A signature is a group of frequencies, an electromagnetic frequency transform, which represents a particular human being like a set of fingerprints. You will perceive a holographic thought with the signature, transmit the thought, and then, you know, follow it with the signature. That signature would identify it as a person's particular thought. All you would have to do is identify the person's signature, and as the signal was being generated, it would be transmitted with that signature. Montauk essentially was what we like to call a mind amplifier.
So, yes, okay, I'm beginning to get it. So an individual, then, is required as part of the, in effect, the transmitted portion.
Yeah, the overall signal that was being transmitted was generated by a human being at Montauk.
Uh-huh.
They had a group of sensors that picked up his holographic thought pattern, processed it through a very large computer system, and then put it into a modified radar transmitter. That's where I came into the picture. I was the one that was in charge of modifying the radar transmitter.
Oh, that's incredible. Oh, I see. All right, so that's how you got into this.
Yeah.
You were
they
actually...
essentially built a mind amplifier.
Yeah, I understand. A mind amplifier. And you...
that led to all sorts of things, including mind control, precipitation of objects. You know, there was all sorts of things that were done from this.
Well, let's
they
say...
they were able to create an object out of the background ether.
Good.
Because if a person sitting at the input of this could visualize that object in their artificial reality or virtual reality, this equipment had the capability of making it real. We're talking probably at least 100 million watts continuous, not pulse, power that they had out there. This thing was modified to what's known as beam use, which had 100 megawatt continuous power.
Did it actually create an object, or did it create the vision of an object?
It could do either one, depending upon the fidelity of the transform being reproduced through the equipment. Like, you could picture, if your signal coming out of your transmitter was complete enough, it would be theoretically possible to recreate you at the other end. The reason you can't is, one, the receiver doesn't have enough power, then the information channel from the transmitter to the receiver is nowhere near high enough fidelity in the other dimensions and realities required to do it. This is what we tried to do at Montauk, was bring up this fidelity factor of broadcast.
What could you get an individual to do? You say you could put an idea in an individual's mind. How much power of suggestion could you accomplish
okay,
that?
I really don't know, because that's the logistics of the project. And remember, the information was very compartmentalized. Now, legend, this is reports from people who I've spoken to, told me that they can get a person to do almost anything they want. This is the way it was put. That almost the sky was the limit.
God, that's incredible. You know,
they wanted to program somebody to be an assassin.
Preston, is time travel possible?
Well, the thing you have to keep in mind is, if you go into pure metaphysics, the non-physical mind is a ripple or a transform or a form on the space-time continuum. If you're going to get your way into the non-physical mind, you got to generate a time wave, which is like a warping or a repetitive bending of the time function. Now, if you could get into this, you have the remnants of a time machine. Now, I know when things were being created out of real time, what I mean is when the concentration would be at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and the object would appear early or after that time, they got very excited, shut the project down for a couple of months, and sent us all back to school to learn about time.